This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Right now, we're very happy to be joined by our next guest. He is with College Football Talk. He's one of the best college football voices in the country to talk to us about the latest that's going around the country. And if we are going to see football this fall, let's head to the phone line to be joined by Brian Fisher today on The Drive. Brian, really appreciate you coming on today.
Absolutely. Good to be on with you.
No, appreciate it. Let's start with this. What was your reaction to the news we saw from the Big Ten yesterday? And I imagine we can expect this from the other Power Five schools, that they will only play conference games this year.
Yeah, I don't think there was really any surprise that this was ultimately the Big Ten's decision. I think if there was any element of surprise, among athletic directors and a couple coaches and presidents, it was probably that. Really that it came yesterday, that I think there was a general kind of consensus, a kumbaya moment, if you will, amongst the commissioners, that we kind of make this decision in unison. And obviously the Big Ten kind of sort of wrenching that with what they voted on this week and what they announced yesterday. But I agree. I think eventually, I think obviously the Pac-12 is probably almost assuredly going to move in lockstep with what the Big Ten's doing. I think there is some debate in the Big 12 and the ACC over what's ultimately going to play out, even if they do end up moving that way. And I think everybody's also keeping an eye on the SEC. What's going to be decided on Monday? I think you talk with athletic directors and coaches around the league. They would obviously like to push this decision back and do as much as possible to play, but they understand that they might be boxed into the corner a little bit, not just from what's going on with the pandemic in their states, but also with the rest of college football and where they're moving to.
Brian, let's say that I gave you odds that one of these Power Five conferences would move their conference games to the spring. What odds would you need to take to feel good that your bet would cash?
Oh, I don't feel good about any bet cashing at all at this point in time. But I think you talk with people around, and everybody says that the spring is the last-ditch resort and all that. And I do get a sense that maybe that is growing into, not only kind of revisiting those plans that they looked at earlier this summer in terms of maybe moving everything there, but I think there's going to be a little bit more momentum for maybe the non-conference games are going to get moved to the spring. Maybe that's when you play the bowl games. I think they're going to kind of look at all the options on the table, as things kind of change really, really day to day and week by week. But I'm not confident in predicting anything because, frankly, you talk with everybody, they understand that things are going to change day to day and certainly month to month.
I know looking at it that it would be unorthodox and unconventional to move the football season to the spring, but these athletic departments trying to make as much money as they can to sort of recover from what's happened in the country, I can't think of a better solution than playing games in March. I mean, the odds of us having a vaccine are certainly higher in March than they would be in October. That seems to make the most sense if you want to try to make as much money as you possibly can.
I agree, and I think the spring model is definitely seems a lot doable. When you talk with people on the coaching side, obviously you're losing spring practice and you're making that up with game week preparations and playing games and all that. But I do think there is a sense that ultimately that there would just be almost too much going on campuses. Obviously, we talk about students coming back. I think maybe even greater numbers than universities would anticipate if there's some sort of vaccine. You're talking about television ramifications with Fox Sports and ESPN and all the other TV partners involved. So I think there would be a lot of moving parts to go into the spring that would have to be worked out, which is, I think, where some of the resistance from administrators kind of comes into play. But yeah, at the end of the day, everybody understands what how much money college football brings in, how much it supports in the general college athletics ecosystem, and they're going to do as much as possible to get all those dollars on the table. And if that ends up, you know, in a couple of weeks saying, hey, we've got to move it to spring in order to get all that money, that's ultimately what I think they'll end up doing.
And part of that money, of course, comes from the fans that go to the games and pay for the parking and the nachos and the Cokes and all that stuff. What do you think the plan's going to be for fans, assuming that there's some version of football? Because the NFL right now is coming up with their contingency plans. We're hearing 25% of the Jaguars fans are going to be able to go, and 14,000 of the Baltimore Ravens fans in Kansas City. We're going to kind of find out a number here in the next couple of weeks. What do you think the plan is for fans actually going to college football games?
Well, there is no one singular plan across college football. That's for sure. This is definitely a very localized, regional decision. It's not really going to be made by any administrator in an athletic department. It's going to be made by, you know, what those local and state authorities, you know, really deem to be feasible. You know, certainly this fall and even into next spring. You're hearing those percentages and those numbers from the NFL. Probably a lot smaller than I think the people in college football were projecting a couple of months ago. But, you know, if there ends up being, you know, fans in the stands, it's not going to be all that many. Certainly you talk about all the things that kind of waterfall from a decision like that, in terms of your season ticket base. Who's going to ultimately get to be part of that, you know, 10% that is let into the stadium? How are you able to set up, you know, whether it's restroom lines or all that stuff? Those are a lot of the pressing questions that a lot of people are asking right now. And as much as they can kind of try to come up with a solution, they know it can also just change overnight based on the decision by a local authority. So ultimately, it's about playing and the when and where first, and then kind of figuring out how fans can kind of possibly partake in that experience later.
Oh, no doubt. It's about playing and it's about starting. How much of it's about finishing and actually having a playoff and a champion? Because we were talking about the other day on the show, for all these sports, success is starting to become just do it and try it and see how much you can get in. How much do you think it really matters, or college football is going to try to actually crown a champion this season?
Yeah, I get the sense that, especially among the, you know, the commissioner level, they've talked with, you know, about the college football playoff and what it would mean for a team to get into that. I know, you know, Bill Hancock, the executive director, has kind of said that the committee is going to do its best to select the four best teams, regardless of what ultimately ends up playing out, you know, this season. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is, we just don't know not only what the immediate college football season is going to look like for these conferences, but, you know, where are you going to play these bowls? You know, are you going to be allowed to play at the Rose Bowl as a semifinal? Are you going to be able to go down to Miami and play a title game? There's just so many question marks about ultimately how this is going to end up, you know, working out. And you listen to, you know, Gene Smith, the Ohio State Athletic Director, saying yesterday, we don't even know if there's going to be a season to play. And as much as everybody wants that to happen, you know, they just don't know at this point. And I think that holds true for the college football playoff. As much as everybody would ultimately like to see a national champion crowned in 2020 or 2021.
If there is a season, how surprised will you be if a prominent player decides not to play? Like Trevor Lawrence comes to mind, a guy that, unless he completely has a catastrophic injury, he's going to be the number one overall pick in this year's draft. If I'm him, I highly consider playing this year. It's kind of like, what do I really have to gain versus what I have to lose? Do you think that's going to be a problem the upcoming season?
Well, it's definitely going to be an issue if they end up playing in the spring. I think you're going to see a rash of, especially those high-profile players, you know, Justin Fields, the Trevor Lawrence, decide to sit out just because of the NFL draft implications. But, you know, I do get the sense that, you know, as much as everybody talks about this virus, you know, not as having as big an impact on this age range and these, you know, highly trained athletes, you know, the fact of the matter is a lot of them still do have, you know, underlying health issues. And I wouldn't be surprised at all, you know, like their professional peers, to start seeing some of those announcements once we kind of get a sense of, when the games are going to be played, how the testing protocols are going to happen, how things might be able to come back to normal. I would imagine there's still going to be a lot of skittish parents out there that are making a decision for the kids, and also a lot of health authorities at these schools saying we don't want to have the liability of somebody that has this underlying condition possibly getting the virus on our campus. So I think there's going to be that in play as well, and it wouldn't surprise me at all to see some guys certainly sit out this season and look towards 2021.
That is Brian Fisher with College Football Talk for the latest on what colleges and universities may do this upcoming 2020 fall semester. Brian, really appreciate you coming on. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to be on with you guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.